Two previous studies, we considered the four appearings of Christ. His having appeared in this world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And the second, his appearing now in heaven for his redeemed believers. Thirdly, his appearing in the air for those who look for him. And fourthly, his appearing on earth in power and great glory in judgment to establish his earthly kingdom. Now, last week, we dealt with the third and fourth appearings, or the two parts of Christ's second coming. We purpose now to consider briefly the signs which the Lord gave in connection with his fourth appearing, or his coming to earth to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thereby, we will note how near and imminent Christ's coming for his redeemed church must be, which precedes his public appearing on earth. We remember that when the Lord was here and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and asked, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" Matthew 24:3. He then replied in detail and spoke of signs in five distinct spheres in connection with his coming again at the end of the age. Jesus told them of things that would happen in the religious sphere, in the realm of the nations, in the sphere of nature, in the domain of the Jewish people, and in the moral realm. He prophesied of things that would happen in these five spheres. They are recorded for us in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21. The signs in the religious sphere. As to the religious sphere, Christ said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5 and 11. Deception by false prophets seems to be the main force of the Lord's warning as to what will take place in the religious realm, for he used the word deceive three times. Satan is the great arch deceiver. The Lord said of him that there is no truth in him, and that he's a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Revelation 12:9 states that Satan deceiveth the whole world. So many false prophets arise, inspired by Satan, and deceive multitudes with damnable heresies, destructive ways, and lying wonders, as the apostles Paul and Peter also warned. See 1 Timothy 4:1-2 and 2 Peter 2:1. The abundance of new cults and strange doctrines with their multitudes of followers in our days is a sure sign of the approaching end of the age. The horrible happenings at Jamestown, Guyana, where a whole colony of some 900 people were forced to commit suicide or to be shot is an example of terrible deception by hundreds by one who pretended to be a religious leader with great promises. The Apostle Paul wrote that a falling away or apostasy from the Christian faith would take place before the day of Christ would come. He stated that the working of Satan would be with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See 2 Thessalonians 2:3-9-12. These things are surely manifest already in some measure everywhere in the religious realm today. The great ecumenical movement in Christendom to unite all religions together in one, irrespective of doctrine or beliefs, is a real forerunner of the great false and evil system of Babylon the Great that Revelation 17 and 18 prophesies will arise before Christ comes back to earth. It is in the formation stage already now. Time fails to give more signs in the religious sphere. Now we consider signs among the nations. The Lord said, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Matthew 24:6-7. In Luke's account of the Lord's words at the same time, we read, quote, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. Distress of nations with perplexity are words of our Lord which certainly describe the times in which we live. The words as to the sea and the waves roaring give a picture of revolutionary forces which are at work in many places. We see the ruling powers of government shaken so that men's hearts fail them for fear as they behold the movements of evil shaping up and acting. The prophet Ezekiel wrote, "I will overturn, overturn, and overturn it, and it shall be no more until he whose right it is, and I will give it to him." Ezekiel 21:27. Such will be the character of things among the nations before the Lord comes to reign. I would like to speak about four confederacies in the Scriptures. The Bible gives us prophecies of four great confederacies of nations that will be formed in the end time. In this short survey, we can only briefly refer to them. Daniel 2 and 7 and Revelation 13 and 17 tell us of a kingdom of 10 kings that will be in power in the end time. This is the revived Roman Empire of Western Europe that will be headed up by a great political beast that blasphemes God and gets his power from Satan, the dragon. The European Common Market Nations, now called EEC, or the European Economic Community, of which there are already 10 accepted in membership, are no doubt a forerunner of this coming confederacy. A second confederacy is spoken of in Psalm 83, of peoples that will be in league against Israel. There we read, "They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the nation of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them." Verses 4 to 8. Here we have a great Arab league of nations around Palestine who purpose to cut off Israel from being a nation. They are all the old enemies of Israel and include present-day Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Iraq of the old Assyrian Empire. Presently, there are some 125 million peoples of 15 Arab countries surrounding Israel in an area of some 4.6 million square miles that are the sworn enemies of God's ancient people. They greatly oppose Egypt in the peace treaty with Israel and will be joined with the king of the north, that is Syria, in an invasion of Palestine, Egypt, and Africa in the coming day, according to Daniel 11, verses 40 to 45. Certainly, the evidence of this confederacy of nations against Israel is very apparent in present-day affairs. The new government of Iran in old Persia is also aligned with the Palestinian liberation movement that opposes Israel. A third confederacy of nations in the end times is given us in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 38. There we read of God, the land Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and of Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, and of Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togomar of the far north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Verses 2, 5, and 6. These nations are present-day Russia, Iran, old Persia, ancient Ethiopia, called Kush, adjoining old Persia, and eastern Germany as old Gomer and Togomar of the far north. This would include the satellite countries of the Soviet Union of today. Ezekiel prophesies that this great confederacy of a multitude of people and armies will be headed up by Russia and one day invade Israel. This seems to be when all 12 tribes are gathered back into the land and dwelling safely there in unwalled villages under the protection of Christ as their king, who will have delivered them from the Roman beast and the Antichrist and the king of the north and the Arab confederacy. See Ezekiel 38, verses 7 to 16. When this invasion of Israel by the Russian confederacy takes place, the Lord will then destroy them all upon the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 39:1-21. We would add that it is generally believed that this Russian Confederacy is the one that will be behind the King of the North that will come out of the old Grecian Empire, spoken of in Daniel 8, verses 23-34. And he will strengthen him, that is the King of the North, against Israel, as is implied in Daniel 8:24. It is clearly evident today that Russia is behind all the enmity of countries in the Middle East against Israel. Russia is not the King of the North spoken of throughout Daniel 11. Syria was and is the King North of Palestine, and Egypt the King of the South, with Israel in between. Russia has in its collation the house of Togomar from the uttermost north, so it is of the far north in relation to Palestine. See Ezekiel 38:6 in the New Translation. The fourth confederacy of nations in the end times is given us in Revelation 9:13-19 and 16:12. There is the prophecy of an invasion of Western Europe by a vast army of 200 million of the kings of the East, or kings from the rising of the sun, as the New Translation of Mr. Darby renders it. Also the interlinear Greek-English New Testament. Strikingly, Japan has been known as the nation of the rising sun, and presently this great growing industrial nation has a peace and friendship treaty with China and her 600 plus millions of people. With the multitudes of India, China, and the industrial might of Japan, we can presently see the possibility of an army of 200 million which would come from the kings of the East, the sun rising, in a future day in an invasion of Western Europe and slay the third part of men, as Scripture indicates. The Euphrates River, which the above prophecy speaks of as being dried up, that the way of the kings of the East might be prepared, was the eastern boundary of the old Roman Empire. Certainly, we see among the nations of the world today the beginnings of these four confederacies and the focus of world attention centered in the Middle East of old Bible land. This is our fourth message in our series of the four appearings of Christ. We were looking last week at some prophetic signs the Lord gave, and in connection with his fourth appearing on earth in power and great glory. We looked in the sphere of the religious realm and at the signs among the nations in the end times. We continue now with a third sphere of signs in the realm of nature. We read that the Lord said in Luke 21 and in Matthew 24:17, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." There is recorded evidence of the great increase of earthquakes in the world in this century and in our present days. Time fails to give statistics available as to this. Famines and pestilences have also greatly increased in the world. There have been severe famines in West Africa, Ethiopia, India, Bangladesh, and so forth, and starvation of people in many places. In 1977, it was stated that 20 million people were perishing yearly from lack of food. Pestilences and epidemics of many kinds have also increased in the last years and threatened the food supply. Much could be said also of great changes in weather patterns, if time permitted. We must now pass on to the fourth realm of signs in the Jewish sphere. When the disciples had showed the Lord the buildings of the temple at Jerusalem, he told them that they all would be thrown down. Then they asked him, "When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming again and of the end of the age?" The Lord then told them of many things that would happen among the nations and in the world. In particular, he spoke about what would happen to the people of Israel and to their land. He said, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Matthew 24:9. Jesus also prophesied, "There shall be great distress, in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke 21:23-24. Some of these things have already been fulfilled in the land of Palestine and among the Jewish people. They have been afflicted, killed, and hated in many nations through the centuries. They have been persecuted and led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem and the beautiful buildings of the temple were trodden down and destroyed in the year 70 AD by the Roman armies under Titus. The wrath of God was upon the people who rejected Jesus Christ, God's promised Messiah, and clamored for his crucifixion. Great distress has been and still is in this land. Jerusalem has been trodden down of the Gentiles through the centuries and will be until the times of the reign of the Gentile nations is fulfilled. As the Lord said, so today the land of Israel is threatened by Arab nations that surround her, some 125 million in population, and by other Gentile powers. The Jewish temple at Jerusalem that was destroyed in AD 70 has never been rebuilt. On its site stands the Dome of the Rock and Mosque of Al-Aqsa, the second most highly venerated mosque after the Kaaba in Mecca among the Muslims. Hosea 3 verse 4 has thus been fulfilled, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. Israel has had no king or prince, nor temple, and no sacrifice, and no priest wearing an ephod ever since Jesus Christ, God's king and priest, and atoning sacrifice has been rejected and slain by the Jewish people. But this state of things among the Jewish people is not to continue forever. The next verse in Hosea 3:5 says, afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. The Apostle Paul declares, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, and blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. See Romans 11, verse 2, 25-26. The budding fig tree. The Lord continued in his prophetic discourse on Mount Olivet and said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all the things be fulfilled. Matthew 24, verses 32-34. The fig tree is a familiar symbol of Israel as a nation. See Joel 1, verses 6 and 7 and Hosea 9, 10. The budding fig tree with renewed signs of life is a prophetic indication of the revival of Jewish nationality. It indicated that the people of Israel, scattered among the nations for centuries under the judgment of God and without a national existence or homeland, was to come into being again as a distinct nation in their own land of Palestine. This is what the sign of the fig tree with new life manifested in green leaves speaks of. By the revival of manifested life in nature, we know that summer is nigh. So when we see a national reviving in Israel, we know that the winter of their desolation is ending and the summer of national blessing is near. The budding fig tree, revived Israel, is one of the positive signs of the coming again of the Lord Jesus in power and great glory, according to his teaching in this parable. It signals the approaching end of the present age of grace and the beginning of the age of the kingdom of Christ, the true Messiah. It is at the doors, as the Lord indicated. In our days, we have seen Israel, the fig tree, shooting forth its leaves and existing as a definite nation in Palestine since May 1948. Amidst difficulties and attacks of surrounding enemies, it has continued to grow in area and power for 31 years. The national life sap, so to say, has once more manifested itself in the one-time dry and desolate tree of Judah. The characteristics of the fig tree of rapid development of fruit and leaves appearing together is noticeable in the developments of Israel. All this is the sure indication that the period of Gentile rule on earth is fast drawing to a close, and the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is near, even at the doors, as the Lord said. A notable event took place on June 27, 1967, when the old city of Jerusalem was captured by the armies of Israel and officially annexed to the state the next day. At that time, General Dayan said, "We have taken our old city of Jerusalem for the first time since A.D. 70, and we shall never give it up again." Thus, the old temple site is now in the possession of Israel. The temple will undoubtedly be built up again, for Scripture indicates that sacrifices will be offered up to Jehovah God sometime before the coming to earth of Christ. See Psalm 42, verse 4, and Daniel 9, 27. Now as to signs in the moral sphere. In Matthew 24, 10 to 12, the Lord said, "And then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Here we have the prophecy that unfaithfulness, hatred, deception, and abounding iniquity would characterize the morals of the times preceding the coming of the Lord and the end of the age. The Gospel of Luke also records that the Lord said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Luke 17, verses 26 and 27. A reference to Genesis 6:11 informs us that in Noah's day the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Corruption and violence were the two great things that characterized the moral realm of the people in the days just before the flood of God's judgment came. The whole civilization was destroyed then, except Noah and his family who believed God and prepared an ark of safety. Note that the Lord said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." One has only to read the newspapers or hear the newscasts of our days to confirm the fact that our times are characterized by unfaithfulness, hatred, deceptions, corruption, and violence. Statistics abound as to the great increase in divorces, remarriages, people living together without marriage, rapes, homosexuality, thefts, murders, and crimes of all sorts. Corruption and violence certainly abounds in the world of our day and is a sure sign of moral decay and coming judgment by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Governments today are often corrupt themselves and powerless to deal with the rising tide of evil. But the Lord Jesus will come and rule in faithfulness and righteousness. We draw your attention to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 as to the last days. Time fails us to read these first five verses, but you look them up. And this description is what characterizes the realm of things today. Well, all these many signs of the times we've looked at in the religious sphere, the national political sphere, the area of nature, the realm of the Jewish people, and in the moral sphere certainly tell us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, as James 5:8 says. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13 that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, verses 11 to 12. Yes, the long night of the rejection of Christ and man's day of sin and rebellion is soon coming to an end, and the day of the coming of the Lord in judgment and reigning in righteousness is near at hand. If we already see the many signs connected with his coming to earth, then how much nearer must Christ's coming be for his redeemed church, which precedes his appearing and manifestation? Truly, the full salvation of believers, the redemption of our bodies, and deliverance from the very presence of sin and rapture to heaven is very near. So it's high time to awake out of any sleepy, indifferent condition of soul and be watching, waiting, and working for our soon coming Savior and Bridegroom. Dear radio listener, how is it with you? Do you have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God? Have you trusted in Him? Are you ready for His coming? Make sure He is coming, and you'll either be on His side of the saved ones or against Him. There's no neutrality. What think ye of Christ is the question. If you haven't decided for Him, we plead with you, while it is still the day of grace, to turn to the Savior and be saved.